I'd like us to turn together to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter 13. Luke's Gospel 13. I'm going to break in at the reading at the verse 10. Luke's Gospel 13 and 10. You note the words of the verse 11. Commences by saying, "And behold." The words "behold," the old Puritan used to remark that whenever you saw the word "behold" in Holy Scripture, that we were to regard it as a mark, an emphasis, that something important was to follow on from that. And certainly that is true. We have here following on from that one of those great and wonderful miracles that was wrought by Christ in the days of his flesh. And therefore tonight, saved and unsaved alike, it would be good that if we would give that attentive eye and that attentive ear as we come to consider this very precious portion of the Lord's words. We'll just bow together and we'll ask the Lord to that end to help us both to hear as we read the word and to hear tonight as we preach the word. Our gracious Father, we thank thee tonight that we have opened and will read this portion from thy precious word. We're glad tonight, Lord, that we never read thy word in vain. We never preach it in vain. For we believe tonight that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We believe tonight that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to that end, we ask now, Lord, that thou wilt tell us in thy presence. Help us tonight, as never before, to perceive and understand that for this short time that we're in thy presence, Lord, thou hast providentially brought us here that you might speak to us. Give us ears to hear tonight. Give us eyes, Lord, tonight, that we might behold afresh the wonders of thy doings. We pray this night, Lord, that we will prove thy word to be the power of God unto salvation. Draw some sinner to thyself, even in this place. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And amen. Luke's Gospel 13 and the verse 10. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound lo these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, All his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. We'll end a reading there to verse 17, and we know again that God will add a blessing to this public reading from his own holy and inspired word for his name's sake. Amen. The scene before us here in a reading is very much like the scene that I look upon tonight here in Kilkeel, Free Church. We find the Lord in this occasion, as I am, in the Lord's house. And on the Sabbath day he has come to preach the Word of God. The only difference is, as I look over this congregation, I can only see the outward. But on this particular occasion here, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God of very God, could look beyond the exterior. He could look right into the heart. And so Luke tells us here on this particular occasion how that the Lord has come to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as he views the congregation as I view it here tonight, he gazes upon a particular individual. Luke tells us here that he saw a woman that had an infirmity, bowed down, bound over for 18 years without any hope of relief. And of course, immediately the Savior has compassion upon her, calls her, and cures her, thereby causing her and the people around her to be full of praise, giving to God all the glory. Now I want for a short time tonight to take this particular story that we've read together, this historic happening, this tremendous miracle here of this woman's misery, and yet this wonderful miracle that the Lord performed for her. I believe that there are lessons in this story for us that we can learn tonight, lessons whether we be saved or unsaved, that would be good for us to learn and to glean tonight. Because you see, when you lift this story out of its historic happening and lift it into the spiritual realm, it very clearly portrays for us that sad picture of a ruined humanity held under Satan's sway. And so tonight what I want to do for a little time is to spiritualize these words here, spiritualize this story here, what literally and physically befell this woman spiritually has befallen every individual in this meeting house tonight. Because you see, because of sin, because of the fall, humanity this evening is ruined and under Satan's sway. And so tonight, as we spiritualize the story, there are three simple truths that I want to bring to your attention. Now maybe like this morning we'll not get the whole three outlined, but we'll do our best. And as we come to spiritualize the message tonight, the first thing I want to emphasize and underscore in this story, there is highlighted for us the plight of the sinner. The plight of the sinner. And as I would study the 13th chapter of Luke, there are three characteristics here that highlight for us the plight that the sinner finds himself in tonight out of Christ. Now the plight of the sinner is seen firstly in the happening of this woman here, in the fact that it speaks here of her infirmity. Her infirmity. And that's one of the main characteristics that cause the sinner to be in the plight that he is in tonight, or infirmity. Look with us there at the verse 11. It says, "Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity and was bowed together." Now she had some kind of ailment, I think a severe spondylosis. Now, if you've ever had a bad back, and I have a bad back, you will know what a severe spondylosis is. It's one of those things that affects you right down at the very base of your spine, where all those nerves are. And so this woman here had some kind of an infirmity like that, and it had an ongoing effect, obviously, in her life. And this severe spondylosis here, as it evolved and continued on, it brought about a spinal curvature. And the conclusion of it all is this, that she had a severe complaint. An ailment here which bent her and bound her over, bringing her nothing but continual pain, misery in her life every day she lived. We could say of her condition that it was a hideous, it was a hindering, it was a halting disease. And before we go any further tonight, as we spiritualize this story, that's man's spiritual condition tonight. You see, like this woman, humanity and the human heart is cursed by this very disease, spiritually speaking. Humanity tonight is cursed and it is curved because of sin and the fall. There's a verse of scripture over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and the verse 9. And it reads like this. It says there that God made man upright. I want you to get a hold of that tonight. That's so important. There's how that man was made, God says. God made man upright. Now that is an obvious reference to Adam's creation in his original state. It's a reference in our Bible to Genesis chapter 2 and to the verse 26. And there we read that says that God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Then verse 31 of Genesis 2. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That is the Holy Ghost's account of the sixth day of creation. And we learn from that, as we have read here in Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, that man is created upright in his original state. And we learn here from these verses in Genesis chapter 2 that Adam was made in the likeness of God. He was endued with light and with liberty. He is the possessor of righteousness and through holiness in his original creation. He is created upright. But alas, Adam, like Mephibosheth's nurse, you remember that occasion as she fled, that she dropped the child, and the Bible says that he became in both his feet, and so it is with Adam, and because of the fall, and because of his apostasy, there is the entrance of sin. Man has fallen from that upright condition and state of heart. And so we read in conclusion to all these things in Romans 5 and the verse 12, wherefore as by one man, and we're talking again about Adam, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. And tonight we have to say, O Adam, what have you done? What have you done? What a fall. What a crippling. The awful spiritual consequences. What an infirmity is yours and mine tonight because of our transgression in Adam. And tonight before a holy God, we are deformed and we are depraved. And tragedy of all tragedies, we are doomed tonight. We're like this woman tonight in that spiritual sense that we've been bowed down and brought down and one day to hell itself unless God and grace intervenes in her life. Men and women tonight, I want you to learn something about the plight of the sinner. Oh, it's the very basis and the very foundation of your coming to Christ tonight, to recognize who you are and what you are before a holy God, the plight of the sinner, her infirmity. You know, the Bible teaches us that tonight we are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 and the verse 1, dead in trespasses and in sin. The consequences being that we are slaves to sin tonight and we are bond slaves to the devil. And we're like this woman here, bound low these 18 years. You tonight out of Christ, you're bound by sin and by Satan. John 8 and 34, whoso committeth sin, listen, is the servant, the bond slave of sin. You know, there's a further plight. Because not only are we bond slaves to sin, but listen, we are the enemies of God tonight. Enemies of God. Romans 8 and the verse 7, the carnal mind is at enmity against God. And flowing on from that, we are separated from God. Isaiah 59 and the verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Ephesians 2 and 12, we are out of Christ without hope and without God in this world. And if that wasn't bad enough as our plight, we must add to that tonight that we are under God's condemnation. John 3 and the verse 18 tells us that we are condemned already. Oh, the plight of the sinner tonight. Men and women, let me tell you this evening that standing out of Christ, you're standing in the very trap door to hell tonight. What a plight is yours. Oh, her infirmity. What an infirmity is the sinner's this very night. But not only this plight, emphasized by her infirmity, but it's emphasized also when you think here about her inability. Her inability. Look again at the verse 11, for it goes on to reveal another characteristic of her life. It says that she could in no wise lift up herself. That speaks of her inability. Men, women, tonight, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And listen, you can't save yourself. Can't save yourself. And we're like this woman tonight. We have an inability. She could in no wise lift up herself, and that makes me believe that she had tried to many a time. She had tried to. Perhaps it's like that woman over in Mark's Gospel chapter 5 with the issue of blood. We're told there concerning her that she had wasted all her income and her finances on physicians, and the Bible says yet she was none the better. You see, there's an inability in her life as well. And you see, the reality here is this, that if Christ had not in grace and in mercy that particular day intervened in her circumstances, she would have died the way she lives. There's no doubt about that. And so it is with you and I tonight. We are sinners, we are lost. We have learned already that we are condemned and we are unclean and we are undone and we are bound for hell. And left to ourselves tonight, we would be as men most miserable. Now the Bible makes it abundantly clear that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot merit favor with God. We cannot turn away God's wrath, that great work of propitiation. It's impossible for it to be done, humanly speaking. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. But you see, God has devised a means that overcomes our inability tonight. Over there in Romans chapter 5 and the verse 6, we read these tremendous words, "For when we were yet without strength, in due season Christ died for the ungodly." The word there, "without strength," is a reference to our inabilities. Of man's ability to save himself. When we were yet without strength, that is, without an inability to redeem ourselves, spiritually speaking. We were powerless to reconcile an offended God and to make peace with Him, because in reality we are day by day lawbreakers. But you see, God has devised means whereby we can be saved, and that brings us to Calvary tonight. For the text there in Romans 5 and 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And tonight, men and women, if you will be saved and redeemed and made upright and pure, having that imputed righteousness imputed to you through faith, it will only be so for the very same reason that this woman was straightened and delivered: the grace and the mercy of God. But I want you to notice here that she has this inability. And I trust there's none here tonight in the free church who's attending these meetings and still hoping against hope that somehow, someday, some way, you of yourself will make peace with God. It's an impossibility. An impossibility. But you notice something else about this woman, not only her infirmity, her inability, but notice here her inhibitor. Her inhibitor. You see, from whence came all this misery and all this evil in her life? Well, the verse 16 makes it clear who her inhibitor was. And the Lord says, "Him Satan hath bound low these 18 years." The word Satan there literally means adversary. And that's who Satan is tonight. That's why up until this point in time you're not saved tonight. It's because, like this woman here, there's been that inhibitor in your life. And that's true of the whole of humanity tonight. Humanity has an inhibitor. And because of this very same adversary here, Adam fell from that high and that holy estate there in the Garden of Eden to the very depths of Sheol. It's because of this adversary that the whole human race is bowed down tonight. It's because of this adversary that the Bible tells us the whole creation groans under his bondage tonight. It's because of this adversary that humanity is held fast by a spirit of infirmity. Is that you tonight? Are you held by some passion, by some sin? Maybe in the past you've tried time after time after time to clean up your life. Maybe to try at the beginning of the year to turn over the new leaf. But again and again you've come to that same place where you've discovered that you cannot in no wise straighten yourself. You're just like this woman here. You're bound by him. You're led captive, the Bible says, at his will. And his aim for you is like this woman, is to ruin your life and ruin your soul via your ungodliness and your unrepentance and bring you down to the very depths of hell. Maybe you're like this woman tonight and you've come to the house of God, and she came that night, on that particular day. And she didn't come expecting any benefit from it. She didn't expect any blessing to flow into her life as a result of coming to the house of God that particular occasion. But all God's grace breaks into her heart and breaks into her life. And although she hadn't a care and a concern, it would seem, about the Lord, yet the Lord had a care and a concern about her. No, tonight that God would come in this very meeting house and look over this congregation as he did even on that occasion. No, tonight that he would set his love upon you as he set his love upon her. The plight of the sinner. But I want you to notice in the second place the power of the Saviour. The power of the Saviour. Look with me there at the verse 12 and the verse 13, highlighting the power of the Lord. It says, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. In these two verses we see very clearly demonstrated for us the power of the Saviour operating in the plight in her life. And I believe that we have here in these verses four aspects or four views of the powerfulness of the Lord Jesus revealed here. I want you to notice firstly here that we have an insight into his powerful wisdom. Powerful wisdom. For there in the verse 12 it says that when Jesus saw her, when he saw her, and from that look that the Lord took that day into that woman's life and into her very heart, he could see her totally and he knows her completely. Now even though they're strangers, he by that look comprehends her every need. And saw not only her hardships, but he saw her heart. Verse 16 makes that very clear. From this look he reads every line of her character, of her history, every through and throb of her heart. You see, he is God of very God. And so it is in this meeting place tonight that nothing misses the eye of the Lord. We sang in that good old gospel hymn tonight, there is no eye like the eye of Jesus, piercing so far away, ne'er out of sight of his tender light. than the wondrous three. Men and women, tonight I tell you in spirit, the Lord is here tonight. And He's doing just what He did that day so many years ago in the days of His flesh. And He's looking over this same congregation. And tonight He is looking beyond that which I can see, and He sees your hearts tonight. And like this poor woman here, He sees your every need. And I tell you something else, He sees your every deed. He knows all about you tonight. People sitting beside you, and they don't know you at all. They don't really know you. But I tell you tonight, the Lord knows you. Just as He knew this woman here, this powerful wisdom. When the Lord looks upon an individual. But not only is there powerful wisdom here, but I want you to notice that there's a powerful wonder here. A powerful wonder. Look there again at the verse 12, and these words amaze me, and they melt my heart. They melt my heart. It says, when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him. He called her to Him. You know what's happening here? Here's the wonder of it all. What's literally happening here is this, that He is marking her out for blessing. I want you to get a hold of that. That's a wonder tonight. As He looks upon her, and remember, the synagogue was packed with people. But I want you to notice here that the Lord marks her out. And He's marking her out here for blessing. What He's doing here is this. He is making her a token of His favor. She is becoming the object of His grace. His mercy is now about to be extended to her. Now you notice here in the verse 12 that there's not a mention about her crying out for His attention. Not a word. It never happened. She's not asking here for deliverance as happened on so many other occasions. There's not an individual here to come and to plead this woman's awful case and condition before the Savior. The wonder of wonder is this, that the Lord will come and set His love upon her. You know that day, who was she? Well, literally speaking, she was the very lowest and the meanest in that whole congregation. That's who she was. You know, she was so bowed over it that her head was touching the ground. That's the kind of a character that she was. She was a nobody. She was a nobody. But wonder of wonders, the Lord loves her. The old hymn puts it like this: I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, He claimed me for His own. Why was it? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever wonder about His condescension? Why He should leave the splendor of glory and come into this sin-cursed world, I know not. Did you ever ponder Calvary? We sang tonight about that love, oh wondrous love, that brought me to the fold. That's the wonder of Calvary tonight. Do you ever wonder about your calling? I'm sure that woman when she went home that evening was bowled over in wonderment of God's grace in her life. Remember the day God called you? Remember the day He called me? Wonder of wonders. Remember the day He called in grace in the psalmist's life? Thinking about Him tonight, we sang about it, His testimony. Lifted Him out of the mire of sin. Remember the day He sinned against Bathsheba. against Uriah, but most of all against God. What mercy was afforded to him? He didn't deserve God's grace and mercy, and yet he sent a prophet by the name of Nathan. Nathan comes to him with a message about his sin, but thank God, a message about forgiveness of sin and about cleansing from sin. Do you remember how that Nathan came and he says, David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. You know, I wonder at that. God's individual dealings with his people, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. What a wonder tonight. Wonder of wonders. Jesus loves me. Not only here the power of the Saviour, not only powerful wisdom and powerful wonder, but there are powerful words here. Powerful words. Look again at the verse 12, that he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. The context here is words that are sovereign. It is literally a divine command that is given to this woman here. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What a powerful word that was. What a powerful word the Lord commands tonight. He speaks, and it is done. Remember that day he came to the grave where Lazarus had been for 4 days. And he speaks again that personal word and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And if he hadn't spoken his name, there would have been a general resurrection that day. Such is the power of the word of Christ. What a powerful word there is here. You know what the literal rendering of the verse 12 is? He said unto the woman, thou art loosed from thine iniquity. Here's what it means. I want you to get a hold of this. Literally, it means thou art loosed to stay free. What a word that is. Thou art loosed to stay free. Men and women, tonight, that's what God's salvation is all about. It's almighty power from beginning to end, power that saves, power that breaks, the power of cancel sin, power that keeps. A power one day that will present us faultless before the Father's throne. Do you need a gracious word like this tonight and a powerful word tonight? Listen to what the Bible says, I am he that blotteth out thy sins like a thick cloud. What a word that is tonight. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a powerful word that is tonight. And listen, sinner tonight, as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. There's power in that promise, you know. Power tonight to bring you out of nature's darkness into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel. Power this evening, the power of adoption to bring you out of that family that's ruined through Adam, into that family that is regained by the second Adam, even our Lord Jesus Christ, to make you a son of God. Powerful word. Let me just say in conclusion, our time is gone, that there was also in this verse here a powerful work that was done. Verse 13 says that he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. And she discovers here that the promise of the Psalm 146 in the verse 7 and 8 was true. For it says there that the Lord looseth his prisoners, and the Lord raises up those that are bowed down. And I want to emphasize tonight in this meeting house, before we bring it to a conclusion, that although Satan had tied this woman, and although Satan had tightened that knot, lo, these 18 years, yet in less than 1/18 of a second, the bond is broken. And she is set free, never to be bound again. You see, when the Lord performs a work, I tell you, it is a powerful work. A powerful work. So much so that she would never be the same again. She would never be crooked again, because, remember, she was loosed to stay free. For her, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's the gospel tonight, as we spiritualize this story. And what the Lord physically wrought for that woman that particular day, he can do the same for you in this meeting tonight, spiritually speaking. You say tonight, but I'm bound by some particular thing, I don't care. I tell you this evening that he breaks the power of cancel sin, and he sets the prisoners free. He's lost none of his ancient power. What he's done for others, he can do for you. What about it tonight? Will you come to him? You know, that's all that woman had to do that day. Nothing else but come. Come and welcome to Jesus. You know, it's unthinkable to imagine what would have been the case had she refused to come. She would have lived and died as she was that day. And so it will be with you tonight. If you leave this meeting unsaved, who knows what will become of you? Oh, the awful consequences of refusing, of rejecting the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's an inhibitor in this meeting tonight, I have no doubt about that. The devil would be here to snatch away the good seed of the Word of God, and he would say to you this evening, not tonight. Then I conclude just as I read to you the latter portion of the verse 14. And I say to you this evening, heed not the exhortation of the ruler of the synagogue on that particular day. Because there in the verse 14 we have, if you like, human reasoning. We have there hell's ruination. Notice the man's advice. There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. And that's exactly what the inhibitor of your soul is saying tonight, to get you out of this meeting unsaved and unredeemed. Not tonight. Leave it until tomorrow. That's what the ruler of the synagogue is saying here. Leave it until a more convenient season. Yes, certainly be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Is that what the devil is whispering in your ear tonight? Oh, I tell you, heed him not. I'm glad the woman didn't heed him. But rather, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. May God give you grace tonight, as he gave this woman grace to come. Just to leave all and come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May God help you come, for your soul's sake and for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close our service tonight by singing together the hymn number 243. Hymn number 243. The good news is that sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly path will leave, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receiveth sinful men. We'll stand together and we'll omit the verse 1 and we'll sing verses 2, 3 and 4 only of the hymn. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this great and glorious truth that Christ receiveth sinful men. Lord, tonight afresh as we have considered Thy great love wherewith Thou hast loved us. Oh, we wonder tonight at His condescension. We wonder tonight at Calvary. And oh, wonder of wonders that the Lord ever set His love upon sinners such as we give to Thee all the praise. And O God, we pray that that which Thou hast done for us when we had no thought for Thee, Lord, even as it was with that poor woman, do it for some sinner here tonight. O God, come. And O this night we ask that Thou wilt grant that irresistible call tonight, drawing sinners to Thyself. I think, Lord, of that day You met with Matthew at the receipt of customs, and You said to him, arise and follow Me, and immediately he followed Christ. Lord, command such a blessing for some soul in this place tonight. To that end, separate us now in Thy fear and with Thy favour upon us, and take us to our homes and safety, and abide with us there. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.